Episode 148 of I Said What I Said podcast, starring Jazzy and Sasha. And we're back.
Oops.
And we're back.
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we back. Let me stop playing. Come on. Why would I say that? Hey, you all. How y'all doing? We're here to give y'all some bullshit, as per usual. Let's get into it. Let's jump right in. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot on the outline. I want to get through all of it expeditiously, but
correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's nothing correct about what we're about to say. Mm-hmm. Not this episode. I can feel it. This is going to be one of them ones. I could feel it because there's been a lot.
I actually... All right. Let's start off.
You actually what?
I think you'll be very surprised by me this episode. Very surprised.
I don't know what that means. I don't know how to feel about it, but let's go.
Song
of the week.
I mean, we're, what, 2 weeks late? A week late, maybe? But I'm still, it's a vibe. Brent Fires. New album.
Damn near three.
Let me tell you something.
Well, we could just put that for the consensus of the mood, because that's the only thing I've been playing consistently since it dropped. So, we in there.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of, like, music that's been coming out lately, I would say more so on the mainstream line or whatever, it really hasn't, you know, been for me. Granted, there are some people that, you know, that aren't, you know, mainstream or mm-hmm. out there, you know, who has been having, you know, like, great music.
I think that's what I've liked about music so far this year is that I'm discovering new people mm-hmm. and they're giving quality work.
And this is like...
If you know, you know. Fuck it. If you don't, you don't. You'll find out soon enough. Hopefully.
And I feel like Brent Fires is
mainstream,
but this is a mainstream album that I thoroughly love from start to finish. It just gives the 90s vibe, the early 2000 beats. Like, it's just everything. The people, like, it's just...
The people that you saw, everything. You work with.
Yes.
Like, you got Timbaland on the intro, and I think that's the only song that Timbaland actually did on there, but Timbaland-inspired beats. Missy background vocals, like, you
even
remixing
bitch,
Cody's
even
song.
fucking skits. Like, we don't like,
I'm not a Brent Fires skit. I'm not a skit.
No, I'm just saying, like,
no,
you know, like the
even
early 2000s, yeah, like
even
skit,
on Wasteland,
yeah.
the skits were very, do I dare say, cringe? They were very cringe, but it just coincides. Like, the skits on here just even go into it. Like,
it just gives an old, like, early, like, yeah, early 2000, yeah, like the feel. Like,
hey, this nigga got us listening to ASAP Rocky in 2023 and enjoying it.
And enjoying it.
Baby. Like, I really did think that he had Babyface on the album.
Like,
but it was Babyface Ray.
Like,
I love when they mix them up. It's so funny to me.
Who mixed them up?
People all the time. They do it on purpose. Like, when they said,
"Well, okay, so
Anita Baker is going to have Babyface Ray," and they put him and photoshopped him onto her tour picture.
My radio in my car, my Bluetooth, when Babyface Ray's song come on, it's so outdated. Babyface. Show Babyface picture.
I'm telling you.
I guess it didn't say Babyface, so they
don't
play
it. But they need to fix that. Like, come on now.
I love me some Babyface Ray. Like, when he comes to New York again, I'm going.
I'm gonna be prepared. I'm gonna wear a nice little oxygen mask, have my IV on the side so I don't die from the children. Them niggas are smokers. They are smokers. But yeah, Brent Fires, the album is fire. This is honest. I'm not gonna lie. When Wasteland came out, of course, everybody was anticipating it because he hadn't dropped the album in mad long since Wasteland. Maybe like a single here or there, maybe, or a leak of something. And then he got a lot of backlash for that.
He had something because it was the Skylines. And then he had something where that Jackie Brown song is on. Was it an EP?
Wasteland. That's the album. That's his last album.
The last one. Okay,
that's
okay.
Actually what he just finished touring is that album. And a lot of people didn't like it. They said he went too off kilter when it came to the vocals and the beats. It sounded like he was fighting them shits. But... I'm going to be honest with you. I get why there's a lot of people that listen to Brent and they like, I don't like how that nigga sounds. It's a different sound. He uses unconventional beats. And sometimes he does misrepresent his voice and doesn't sing on a song. But, like he purposely fights the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's his thing. But this album just...
He did it. He was in his bag.
He's
like, damn.
Oh, he's like, I heard what y'all said. But Wasteland had great projections. It had great numbers.
Okay.
And people did like it. I think I think social media helped with that album.
Mm-hmm. And TikTok.
Yeah, and TikTok. Because Jackie Brown, there was two other songs in there that really blew mm-hmm. because everybody was making reels and shit to that. But this one is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I love when I get music that I didn't know that I was getting, but then it knocks me off my feet.
Mm-hmm. Knocks me off my feet.
Oh.
Okay.
It's making me warm.
All right.
It's definitely going to be one of those today.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm glad we're on the same page. But there have been a lot of new music coming out. Today specifically, I know Chris Brown dropped the album. Have not listened.
Whatever song I posted on my Instagram was the last song I listened to. And that is a song. It's a girl that's singing on it. That's a song.
That's my girl.
It's a song.
That's the girl I talk about every week.
Oh, that's her?
Matey.
Oh, she can sing, baby. She can sing. That song is a lovely Matey. Song.
Yeah, that's
it's,
my girl.
It's that...
I love her.
It's the... Okay, I know you know that Cleo Souls, that song. It's the... It's like the... I don't know. It's
Cleo
like
Souls therapy.
It's like the beat. I don't know. Whatever. But that's that kind of vibe of a song.
Oh, I'm like,
okay,
that.
Chris Brown. I was like, okay.
I didn't want to go straight to it. But I am.
The song of Future is nice too.
That's why I stopped that. I think that's song number four. Mm-hmm. But it's just a lot of music.
Per usual.
And this is shorter than what he usually gives. So if he's giving us 22 songs on this, he's going to drop a deluxe with another 22 songs.
He's good for a deluxe.
Why he keep doing that? That's annoying.
They going to keep buying. They buy his shit.
They love Chris Brown. Chris Brown don't do no wrong in certain people's eyes. He's transcended certain plateaus where it's like, yeah, there's certain people that's out here that says he needs to be bigger than what he is. But no.
I think he's fine. I think he's fine right where he is.
He always going to clap back. He's always going to defend himself because he's just a sensitive ass nigga. And that's fine. There are just some people out here, they have to defend themselves whenever it comes down to it. But
I think he found right where he at.
I'm glad. The nigga still didn't know who Robert Glasper was, and he's an idiot for that.
When
he won the Grammy. Glasper won the Grammy over. Who the fuck is Robert Glasper? You're a dumbass. Goddamn fool.
His shit with Funny Marco was funny.
I'm gonna go look at it.
He just didn't try too hard. I thought the one with Kevin Hart was funny too, because Kevin Hart was too stunned to speak. Kevin Hart did not
at impromptu funny shit. Like, he knows how to be funny on spot.
Yeah, but this Chris Brown with it was literally like Jay just sitting there talking, and he was literally going along with his bullshit.
Kevin Hart had a clip of him fucking interviewing Dr. Dre, and this nigga laughed for 4 minutes straight after something Dr. Dre said, and he couldn't get through the interview, and he couldn't stop laughing. And that's how you know some shit. Like, that's how you know somebody really like, they couldn't stop themselves. They don't give a fuck about what's going on. There's 15 cameras in my face. I'm interviewing Dr. Dre, but this nigga say one funny thing, and I'm going to fuck off the rails. Like, I gotta see. I was consistent with Kevin Hart's podcast, but then I got
it's so many. It's so much to keep up with. I like his thing on Peacock, where he interviewed a with certain celebrities and his wine cellar.
So
he has it on his
Peacock. It's on Peacock. So that's his podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I was watching it on YouTube, but then,
The one with Miley Cyrus, she's actually she's fucking
Cyrus
funny.
Is my girl.
She's hilarious.
She's hilarious.
That was a good one.
They try to kill your favorite bitch. They try to take your favorite bitch out.
That's a good one.
And I play that. I literally post that clip once a year because bitches be trying to take you the fuck out.
They do.
Let me say people, not just bitches, because I haven't had too many adverse situations when it comes to women. But in general, motherfuckers be trying to take you out. They try to kill your favorite bitch.
I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Oh!
Her season coming up is here.
Honestly, I have not.
I want Target to stop playing Christmas music.
I haven't heard
her song yet.
Yeah, but I thought it was supposed to have been did it.
I don't know. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire 4 times in a row at Target. I feel like that's unnecessary. It's not adding to my shopping experience. I don't like it.
Well, hopefully she doesn't have time and she's focusing on her Victoria's Secret thing. So hopefully she just...
I'm here for that. We're going to hear it eventually. Maybe it's a little too early. But speaking of Christmas
albums... No, but I thought
she
did it always on November 1st.
She usually posts... I don't think it's November. Ain't it December 1st she usually posts something? And it is 25 days of Christmas. But Brandy dropped her Christmas album. Haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited.
Because
somebody leaked a snippet on one of the songs, and it's some freaky shit. We getting freaky Christmas carols.
I'm here for it.
You know I am.
Bust my ass underneath the motherfucking fireplace while the chestnuts are roasting. What else is there to do?
I'm not judging. I'm just really intrigued about what you just said, and it just threw me off guard.
You just fucking, you hear the fire cracking on the wood?
For real?
It can happen. It can happen.
One day.
It can.
Whatever. Whatever you say. I don't want to listen to the damn song.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Chestnuts roasting.
Don't sing that song. I heard it way too much this week. And I only went to Target once, so that says a lot. Did you get a chance to listen to Meg's new song?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts? First word that comes to your head.
Diary.
Confessional. I like it. And I'm not necessarily I'm not going to sit here and cap and say I'm the biggest introspective rapper type of girl. I do.
What is that?
So, like, introspective rap is, like, storytelling.
This is
really drawing out, like, just in general, like, certain rappers, they literally like to paint a story, draw out certain scenarios so it can be really vivid through their lyrics.
Well, I just hope that's her last song like that, because I want Tina Snow back.
I hear what you're saying.
I want Tina Snow back.
But maybe Tina Snow retired. Maybe that's what she came into the game with. But I don't know if she's going to continue to do introspective.
It was good for her
like
to
that.
Do it. It was good for her but to Meg get it Stallion, out. It was good for her. It was good for her to get it. I really like it. Was good for her to get
that
it out.
That bitch took a depressing ass, like you said, like song, you just said, diary honestly, post. It's actually, and made it into a song fire song.
It's very, but it's very twerk. Depressing. You can't, it's depressing. Very depressing.
It's a depressing song to twerk.
It's very depressing. Especially when she goes back to back about the deaths in her family. That's very depressing.
And on top of that, sitting here saying, like, I want to kill myself, and there's bitches out here that are killing themselves to try to be like me. That's some deep seated self awareness that she spitting on a rock beat where you can actually shake your ass to. I could see that shit coming on in the club and girls going the fuck off.
You like, think so?
I feel like it's one of them sad girls. I feel like, you know how we got the Summer Walkers. You know you got the Mariah Scientist. You get the sad girl music, like the Scissors and all of them. I feel like she just did it in rap form. They play Snooze in the club. Snooze is a love song, but it's not. Motherfuckers be building that shit out. That I testify.
Yeah, please. Maybe. That shit's okay, sad, maybe, nigga. Maybe from the part where she's talking about her catching, what's his name, cheating on her. Maybe from there. I don't want to hear about the death part in the club. I don't want to hear that. Maybe around the part when she's talking about that shit.
It's a little. It gives me nostalgia to a certain extent.
It's depressing. It's a good, but it's just like, damn, it's heavy. It's heavy.
It is heavy, but there's a lot of heavy music out here.
It is.
I lied. This is what I was about to say. There's a lot of heavy music that used to play in public spaces. Like, when you look at Tupac, when you look at Biggie and all of them, when you look at even a fucking Jay-Z, like, earlier work.
I can see
they
them
were introspective.
I can see them playing it, you know, and spinning it in the mix and stuff like that. But
it's not a song where you play throughout. Any DJ would know what to do.
I'm glad she got it out, though. I'm glad she got it out, and I'm glad that was the first thing that she did. And I'm glad it was.
She's fire, and the visuals really helped.
Yeah, she looks really good. She's another one of my OZ girls.
She's not. Why would you say she on OZ? You don't have to stop doing that. Right. You're gonna have. Not everybody is on Ozempic.
They are, girl.
I know, but.
And I love it.
I don't think Meg is on Ozempic. Her face is not giving Ozempic. Her face is definitely... Have you seen these bitches' faces?
Not Meg's all. That's face because is not... She's getting the right dosages. These bitches are getting more... They're overdoing it. It's okay.
I testify for you.
I love it. I'm not ashamed. I want it. I love it. I love it.
What you mean you want it?
I want it. I want the Ozy.
You
want
to stick yourself with a needle
in your bathroom. I want the Zempic.
To drop 15 pounds in a week.
I want the Zempic.
You want a stringy neck? You want the lived in look. You want corpse.
Sample size.
Corpse couture.
Sample size.
I'm not doing this. If you get it, I won't tell nobody you doing it, but.
Just mind your business.
Mind your business.
You might see me.
Drowning fish.
Like,
you upsetting me and I don't even know which homegirls, but you're pissing us off. Pissing me and my group off. But listen, I don't know. There's other new music, but y'all could go on Apple Music for all that. This ain't a music podcast. I lied. I want to say RIP to Matthew Perry.
So sad.
Very sad. It's really sad when people struggle with addiction.
You know,
years.
I didn't know that. Till my mom told me, I did not know that.
He brought it out. He did like an on-screen, I don't know if it was an interview or if it was just him just talking.
I seen it on TikTok where he was telling clips that he was going through episodes and showing what episodes he was like high and stuff like that.
But the thing is that I heard, This is from a cardiac arrest. He was, there was no drugs.
Oh yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
So it's just, but something I feel like, I feel like even though no drugs were maybe found in his system, probably tell to his demise.
Oh, it did. That's what he said.
I feel like the cardiac arrest is probably maybe years of drug abuse. Yeah. I don't know, and I can't.
It's very strenuous on the body. It's very strenuous on the body.
Yeah, like I can't. And who speculate. Knows?
Sometimes I was reading something where it was like sometimes if you haven't been on drugs in a while, like sometimes it like something like triggers you in your body and it goes to your brain and your brain is not knowing how to function, so it goes to your heart.
With
and that
withdrawal is crazy. That's why a lot of people with certain types of drugs, the withdrawing from the drug is a surefire way to kill you. That's why they'll
put, makes me so sad.
They'll put heroin addicts on Suboxone, methadone, things like that to lessen the cravings, but it's still a drug. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's still a drug in itself, but it's weaning you off because going cold turkey could
ultimately kill you.
But, yeah. Like, I love Friends. I say it on here.
Yeah, we know.
Quite a few. RIP to that man.
Yeah, baby,
it's one of these.
Keith Lee took motherfucking Atlanta. Motherfucking Atlanta and shut it down.
But didn't I say stop playing with Keith Lee when
stop
he said
playing
leave
with
him alone with his wife? I don't understand
his
why
family.
Y'all
leave him alone
with my guy.
Leave him alone. Y'all look crazy.
Ocho Cinco, how does it feel to get ate the fuck up like that?
Ate the fuck politely.
I hate when Christian people really like try to hit you with the God bless, because you know they really don't mean it. It's so passive aggressive.
Very passive aggressive.
Very. God bless. You have a blessed day. You know what you really have a blessed day is a fuck you. I don't care what nobody
it
says.
Is.
That's what
it is.
Says.
It is.
Okay, as long as we understand.
It is.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes when you arguing with somebody and you in the car, have a blessed
God
day.
Bless
yes.
You.
Have a blessed day.
What you mean, God bless
nasty.
You?
Nasty. Mm.
However, Keith Lee went down to Atlanta and caused a frenzy and exposed the people for the bullshit that they are doing in these restaurants. And I'm sure that y'all know. I'm 110% that y'all understand. And if you heard us talk about Keith Lee before on this pod, now you definitely know who he is because of the situation that just went down. So he went down to Atlanta to do his in-state. He's going to different cities and doing a food tour, just going to different restaurants that people recommend that are popular in the city. What Keith Lee, his main purpose for these restaurant reviews, which I don't think people understand, is that he goes to establishments that claim to have really great food, really great customer service.
Oh, no. It's, he'll go, you're right with that. Uh-huh. If he'll go somewhere and he'll ask people what suggested.
Yeah.
But his main thing is like sometimes he'll go to places that aren't more so as don't have a lot of customers.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So he's the type, his main structure for his food reviews is to bring light to under-deserving restaurants.
Yeah.
So if it's a place that has great food, is it the marketing? Is it a lack of marketing? Is it the lack of customer service?
Is it
the customer service
bad?
Is the food trash? So he'll go there, especially when those places are recommended or they reach out to him, and he'll do a full and honest review so that those restaurants can get the notoriety that they need, or they can work on certain things that may be lacking.
I love it.
That's his food reviews. He is not just one of these food reviews.
I might fan out if I see him, bitch. I might fan out.
At this point.
I might fan out.
You know you're over the bridge.
He's here, right?
I don't know.
I seen it on Facebook, though, but he didn't post it nowhere else, though. And I've never heard of him posting on Facebook.
That's probably old. They're probably lying.
Yeah, because
a whole bunch of people are making like videos New York. Let's show Keith Lee what Atlanta could.
I just seen his wife just made a TikTok and she was at home. So I don't think they're in New York.
They're not in New York.
I've never seen them.
If they were in New York, we would have had two reviews by now.
Yeah,
he definitely would have went back to Cuts and Slices.
And I would have went wherever he was to try to get a picture.
I hate you.
I do. I love Keith Lee.
I understand.
But he shut it down. And I'm glad he did, because I want to talk again. I just want to share an experience that we had. You probably might not even remember that we had an experience as Keith Lee experienced when he went to Kenny and the gang, Old Lady Gang.
I went to Old Lady Gang.
No, not that. Remember when we all went to Miami? It was us and the boys.
Yeah.
That one year I went.
Yeah.
Remember we went to that restaurant?
Which one?
I don't want to say it, but it's like black and red. So remember, we already had to wait like an hour.
We had finger licking.
Finger licking.
And I've had three experiences with finger licking. I don't give a fuck. I'm not in Miami.
So
finger licking. Fuck Florida,
girl. So we had waited like an hour. That was fine because, you know, we were all together, entertaining each other, did whatever we had to do. We get there, we sit down. No one, you know, they gave us our menus, but time passed. No one has came and took our order.
Not even a woda.
Lo and behold, I'm not sure what, some rapper walked in. Somebody. A rapper walked in with his entourage, went up there. Nobody said anything. Everybody was attending to them. Nobody came.
They got their food in 20 minutes
or less. And we were still waiting on our motherfucking food.
Yeah.
And I'm just like.
That was my second time at finger
licking. That was fucking ass. And I was so fucking pissed.
Food was just trash. The first time I went to finger licking, I promise you, it was probably because I was drunk.
Yeah.
The food was good. Second time was that incident. And the shit was trash. Third time, trash. So, I think a lot of these restaurants too, once they do blow up and they get that notoriety of a celebrity being attached to it, they cut corners.
Yeah.
Use less quality ingredients. The food isn't as fresh. They appeal to the masses of celebrity-like status as opposed to your everyday patrons, because that celebrity coming in there one time. Mm-hmm. You got motherfuckers that go to finger licking every week. Let's be real. And you're not treating them with that much.
Nope.
You're not giving them the same service. But Keith Lee went down to Atlanta. He did, and he wasn't down there to shit on restaurants. He asked for the suggestions. This is what I'm gonna say. And for anybody that lives in Atlanta or any people that are originally from Atlanta that listen to this show, y'all are very superficial down there.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of you. And I will sit there and say a lot of people that are on the outskirts of Atlanta, going more into like just different parts of black towns in Georgia, they don't have the same sentiment. But I always coin Atlanta like the country version of LA.
Yeah.
It's very superficial. It's very who knows who. It's very I need to see you. Like I've spoken on here, my worst party and club experiences were in Atlanta. I did not have as much fun as they make it seem on social media, because now I realize they come in, they do their walkthroughs, everybody sees what's going on, and they keep it moving. They don't show what the fuck is really going on, which is this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in their phone, from man to woman. That's all that y'all do down there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the restaurant game. Y'all have these restaurants that y'all recommend to people. Don't get it twisted, Atlanta got good food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so oversaturated, and they cater to celebrity status or somebody that has a whole bunch of followers or can bring notoriety to them, as opposed to giving everybody just good, plain customer service.
Right.
So why would you try to sit Keith Lee right away when he walks inside because you recognize his face, but then you have people that's waiting in the parking lot for 2 hours?
And you know that, and that really irritated me about Candy Burrs, because you really weren't trying to get it.
She gave
it. It's either you understood it and you just can't take constructive criticism, because you literally said out of your mouth what everybody complains about. You literally sat here and said it doesn't matter if you have regular people waiting already 50 minutes and fucking little baby can walk in there and you're going to say fuck it. Little baby, come sit down. Even though you had people that
2 hours might have traveled that.
That's exactly what he's saying. Treat everybody the fucking same.
And that's
the sorry.
So then why are you mad that I'm bringing light to the fact that you guys? I send my wife or I send my sister in there. Now they know Ronnie's face, so he can't even send her. So now he's sending his sister and his sister-in-law.
Or his mother-in-law.
Sending them in there, and it's like, you're telling them that it's 2 hours, but if let me see if I walk in, how y'all gonna treat me? He's a man of integrity. He's a man that stands on certain principles when he does his reviews. I don't know why you think it would appeal to him for y'all to sit there and say, well, I can sit you in 3 minutes. So you're lying. So that's why, like, I don't want to eat here in the first place if that's the bullshit that y'all on. And a lot of the, I didn't see not one actual food review from Atlanta. No, I did see one. I saw one.
The place that was next, that was next to the milk and honey place.
Take the plate.
The bodega. Remember he did this was it a breakfast? It was called the bodega. He reviewed a place called the bodega.
But I saw a restaurant like
me too. I saw two. Yeah. So I think he actually reviewed it too.
But the rest of the reviews was literally him saying, "Yo, I can't order food. Mm-hmm. I can't get no food to go on takeout. Like I'm not about to sit here and take somebody else's table just because of my clout. Like, I pay for everything. I don't want special treatment. Then y'all gonna make the food extra good and it's not gonna live up to the reputation of everybody going there and being like, this shit is trash. Keith Lee has bought people business. His sister, are we fucking serious?
His sister and his wife did Lil Baby's seafood place and said it was complete trash.
Oh, that, but I've seen other, yeah, I've seen two other reviews. Yeah. I've seen two other reviews specifically on his restaurant. And it's overhyped. I mean,
it's just his name slapped on him. My thing about it, if you're going to slap your name on something, you got to make sure it's good. Because that's your name
like
on
James
it.
Harden's restaurant in Houston. Smashing.
What is it? 11-11? Is it?
13.
13.
Amazing. And the fact that they have like a lounge club downstairs. Like
hookah.
Like you put your... And people would sit there and say, that's go see. Like, that's a little bit like... These celebrity adjacent restaurants, a lot of people have... I could say for me, I'm a little weary when it comes to them because a lot of them just put their name on things. Like, I could sit there and say that James Harden did his thing with 13 because the food, the customer service, the ambiance, everything in there is fucking worth it. Like, it's worth the money you're going to spend. Mm-hmm. You feel catered to. But I'm not about to go to Little Baby's restaurant and get nasty-ass crab legs, which that's what I saw in the reviews. Cheap. What are we talking about? But stop playing with Keith Lee. And for real, come to New York because nobody wants to be on the Atlanta shit list for restaurants. So I'm sure that Keith Lee will get top-notch service and, you know, things of that nature if he comes up here. Come to Jersey. We got some restaurants. There's a lot. It's a lot. I'm keep seeing new restaurants all over the place. You want some Spanish food? We won't give it to you. But... we're seeing that the SAG-AFTRA, I gotta say it like that, that's the only way it's gonna come out of my mouth, reaches a tentative agreement with studios to officially end the actor's strike. And then I saw earlier today that the strike is over and things have been resolved.
Yeah, I think it was today at 12:13, or was it tomorrow, yesterday?
No, I saw it today.
It was today at 12:13, I think.
So thank God, because I am tired of watching these docuseries on Netflix. I need the shows to come back. Maybe now these tentative dates of 2025, they'll drop back down to 2024. People can get back to work. Clearly, this wine is making me burp.
It's okay.
Y'all gonna deal with it. Y'all gonna deal with it. So I'm very happy for that. Because I need entertainment to a certain extent. But a bitch that says she don't watch TV, clearly I do. There's certain shows that I need back.
You do watch TV.
Where are the last two fucking shows? Where are the last two episodes of The Chi?
Maybe they're coming because maybe...
So the strike happened in the middle of filming?
Maybe.
So y'all just gonna give us eight?
Maybe.
I don't like that. So I'm glad that they've come to some resolution. So if they did... If the strike is over, then that means that we are... The actresses and actors got what they actually needed out of their union. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a good thing. It's a positive thing and shit we did not ask for. Because he didn't. Speaking of some more positive shit, the Grammys is looking a little melanated again this year.
I love it.
Love when they do a black Grammy.
I love it.
Let me see.
It's a black Grammy.
Listen, they have nominees announced. Chris Brown. Nikki's going to always be there.
She's always nominated. She's never won.
She never won. I don't know if they're going to give it to her.
That's fucked up.
They might give it to her for Ice Spice for Bobby Roe because it's nominated for Best Rap Song. Why are you mad at me? What did I do?
Why? Why? Why is Barbie Girl nominated? Anyway, it's not that.
It was associated with the Barbie movie. The girls love that fucking song. Me and you don't like it. But when you go out, you have to really look around to see who loses their minds. Grown ass women. From the ages of 13 to 58. That go the fuck off for Barbie Girl. Nicki Minaj featuring Ice Spice. I can't be mad
Let's
at
go.
It.
Let's go. Read it, Sash. Please.
Can't be mad at it. So
my heart can't take it.
Album of the year. I'm going to be honest. The only person on here that I would want to win is SZA. Janelle Monáe is nominated for Age of Pleasure. And I heard that was a really good album, but I didn't get into it. Of course, your girl Taylor Swift is on here. Miley Cyrus is nominated for Album of the Year. Endless Summer Vacation. We just talked about that. Maybe we should support our white sister.
We should. I love Miley.
I'm not into that country shit. I'm not
gonna lie. Oh, it's country?
Record of the year. We got SZA with Kill Bill. We got Victoria Monet with On My Mama. We got Billie Eilish. Miley Cyrus is on here again. Olivia Rodrigo. The little girls love her. She's like a very... She's like the depressive younger version of Ariana Grande.
Oh, wow.
The girls love her, though. I've heard some of... Olivia Rodrigo got some shit. Her and Billie Eilish got some shit.
Yeah, I know Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, I fuck with her.
That's my girl.
Fuck with her. She got a little...
She be all in H&M. She got a little spicy to her.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that comes
she's
from
funny.
Her.
She's funny. I seen something said. She's funny.
I hope that's authentic. She got a little spice to her.
Mm-hmm. Even though she wears those dark colors, she's actually like... Her personality is yellow. Like,
I'm a little conflicted when it comes to best new artists. I do want to say shout outs to Ice Spice for getting nominated. I think that's cute. I like Ice Spice. I'm not gonna say she doesn't deserve to be up here because her name has been circulating for the last 2.5 years. So I'm glad that she's nominated for best new artist. Do I want her to win over Coco Jones or Victoria Monet? No, I do not. But I think it's great that she's nominated mm-hmm. this far in her career. That's about it.
Good for her.
I'm conflicted. I don't know.
I don't want Ice Spice to win.
I'm not conflicted on that. Victoria Monet and Coco Jones. I think they're both deserving.
They're both deserving, but if I had it, I would say Victoria.
I know. I know I can't, but this is the thing, is I can't sit here and say that I know the work that
because I feel like Ice Spice is gonna fucking win. I just feel like it.
Girl, it might be this nigga Jelly Roll, that fat nigga that
Jelly. Let me tell you something. His wife Bunny
got good music.
He has good music, and Bunny, his wife, baby, that from head to toe,
the Warren Treaty. God, who the fuck damn. Is Gracie Abrams? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Jelly might win.
But I can't sit here and say that I know the work that Victoria Monet has put in. She is a writer. She has been around. She has been doing music since, 16? But don't get it twisted. Coco Jones' story is beautiful as well. Because she came out as a teenager, stopped doing music, came back in, and then just transcended. And that ICU EP, it went through the roof. Like, ICU was everywhere.
Is that song nominated?
That song is nominated for Best R&B Song of the Year. So we have...
I might have to just watch it.
Yeah, we got Best R&B Album, Why Didn't Summer Tell You, Walker's Coco Jones, Babyface Girls Night Out. I wasn't too fond of that.
Never listened to
Our girl Summer Walker, Claire 2, is on there, even though she should have been nominated for her debut and her second album. But whatever. Victoria Monet, now if we're going to do albums, I played that Coco Jones album crazy this year. Mm-hmm. I forgot that shit came out this year.
What is it?
But Victoria Monet, I feel like she should get Best R&B Album for this year.
I hope so.
Out of all of them.
I'll be
just right there with it. Best R&B Performance. Chris Brown, Summer Too Hot. I never heard that song. I don't know. Coco Jones, ICU.
Please, yes.
Robert Glasper feature. So Sir is nominated too, and Alex Isley, okay. Back to Love. And that was the song that was on Run the World. That's mm-hmm. what made me download the fucking Run the World soundtrack onto my phone. SZA, Kill Bill. I love SZA's SOS album. But Kill Bill was my favorite.
SZA be winning though. She be winning Grammys
She do. Grammys is kind of who you tied into. Not
it's
really
very blackish this year.
And then Victoria Monet, How Does It Make You Feel? So I thought it was On My Mama. People are like, oh, you really think she needs to deserve? She deserves to win Best R&B Performance for On My Mama? I'm like, but she's not nominated for On My Mama.
She's not nominated for On My Mama?
On My Mama is for Best Song Overall. Song of the Year. No.
Let me make sure. I don't know about that song.
No, Record of the Year. Okay. On My Mama. How does it make... It's an album. Go back. Oh, no, you're going to go back and listen. Best Rap Song. Doja Cat, Attention. Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice, Barbie World. Drake and 21 Savage, Rich Flex. Lil Uzi Vert, Just Wanna Rock. You know, they have
Dude, that's going to win. That's going to win.
I think for what's transcended against age, race, everything, social media
gotta
platforms.
It's got
to
be Uzi.
If you don't give it to Uzi... Now
I'm gonna be very. I'm gonna be very aggravated if Barbie Girl wins. I really am, and it just might be only us two in the world that feel that. But
to be very honest, I love that if they're gonna give Nicki Minaj her first Grammy,
it's because
she's with Ice Spice and miserable cunt. Oh shit! Damn it! Tasha.
They're coming for me.
Block that out. You know the barbs. As soon as they hear anything Nicki Minaj, they're going to find my address.
I'm put that in the tag.
Come get me, baby. You want to tussle? I want to fight. You want to tussle? Oh, it breaks my heart. Nicki Minaj breaks my heart. Mm. And speaking of broken hearts, we got some breakups over here. Lori Harvey and Damson Idris released a joint statement announcing the end of their relationship. You know what kind of sucks about this? Is the fact that they have to release a joint statement. The fact that nobody thought they were going to last in the beginning.
They don't have to. They don't have to.
Just from, but the thing is, because it's become such a joke. It's become such a joke to make fun of Lori Harvey's love life that they literally follow every single fucking move with a microscope when it comes to her relationships. And this shit is sad. And I think she eats it up at this point. It's like, they're going to do it anyway. So let me just like make some money off it. My name is going to stay here. My name will stay here. I'm going to get these brand deals. I'm going to get these endorsements. Y'all going to keep talking about me being a hoe. These niggas are still going to be on my body. So it is what it is, like, at the end of the day. I just think that
Hollywood is very, very...
Hollywood weird.
Very weird. I'm just going to say Hollywood is very weird.
Oh, that might be the episode title.
Hollywood is very weird.
Let's put Hollywood weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they broke up. Nobody expected them. I'm not going to say I didn't expect them, but a lot of people did not expect them to last. A lot of people were very happy that they broke up because they just wanted to have another reason why Lori Harvey's a hoe and has another notch on her belt. Like, y'all motherfuckers is crazy. But neither here nor there. I'm not reading their statement. I don't give a fuck about why you broke up. And I honestly don't think you should have gave anybody anything. Y'all should have sat there and you followed each other, scrubbed y'all pages clean, and not give a shit. Not give us a goddamn thing. We are not obligated to know every single vulnerable aspect of somebody's life. I don't care if they're a celebrity.
Right.
But neither here nor there, he put his time, he punched in his, he did his year bid and came out. And I think he will be a better man for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Last, we got on celebrity bullshit, because I'm over this nonsense. I really still call it celebrity bullshit, because it just is. It nonsense. Is. It's just nonsense.
It's bullshit.
Kiki Palmer files for a restraining order against Darius Jackson, accuses him of abusing her multiple times. This dropped on the timeline last night.
Mm-hmm.
And baby sent the internet into a bit of a frenzy. I'm not going to lie. I felt like I seen more people way more, people way louder when the video and the whole Usher thing came out as opposed to this. Because, you know, when it comes to domestic violence, people get really tight-lipped. They don't really want to say their opinions. They kind of want to see all the facts. But facts came out. Reports came out. And video. This is the first time where somebody being abusive is right there in the public's face. Because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, did he really hit her? Like, that's why I think the Rihanna and Chris Brown thing shook the world the way it did. Because it's like, we saw the damage that happened to her after that. So we knew exactly who did it. It's not that he didn't admit to it. It's just right there in our face. Because a lot of people, it's like, oh, they're lying. It's a he said, she said thing. But to see still footage of this nigga having his hands wrapped around Kiki Palmer's neck and having her choking her out over the fucking couch, there's no denying it. So all the motherfuckers that was caping for him before just saying that this is just a man expressing his emotional standpoint over his woman being in a risque, which, baby... If what Kiki Palmer wore to that Usher show is risque, then bitch, I'm a nudist. Even then, the way that he would speak, his emotional standpoint, even doing that, outing somebody, embarrassing them, that's emotional abuse. People don't look at it like that. That's just a nigga expressing his feelings. No, that's emotional abuse because you sat there and you called out the aspects of motherhood and you tied that into the fact that you didn't like something that she was wearing. Oh, policing her outfits, another way of control and abuse. There's a whole bunch of signs that were there that either people want to get into or they don't. But one's surprised at this shit.
And he stands on what he says. Yeah, what he says.
There's a podcast that I listened to with a couple of guys, and their friend, they've interviewed his brother Sharonis. So they had him on. They had him on there, and he just loved it. He was absolutely happy that men were caping for him. He loved the fact that some people understood that a man is going to stand up for his family. I don't understand how you downplay, mm-hmm. embarrass the mother of your child and say that you're a man that is standing up for his family because you don't like a dress that she had on. You don't like that she was enjoying herself mm-hmm. at a concert where you're supposed to interact. So all the signs for abuse were there. Every single one of them. Like, the man sat there and posted, "I love you, son. See you soon." The baby don't have no fucking Instagram. How are you supposed to see that message? That's for people to sit here and empathize with the fact that he's an abuser.
He don't care.
He's a narcissist. Textbook. It's textbook. Now his old tweets are popping up. "I don't support DV, but I do understand why some of these athletes be rocking they chicks."
He had other tweets.
Like, what?
He's in before when the whole, he had other tweets before. And just sometimes, maybe because I'm just too nosy with some stuff. Like,
what you mean?
Too I'm nosy? Just saying, like, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I just be trying to look. I look for stuff. Like, some, like,
what you mean?
I'm just saying, like, the last time when about the whole dress thing came up, remember those other tweets?
Oh yeah,
came up, and I'm just like, damn, and like, it, god damn.
Are you saying that because it's like, I'm not surprised that this is coming out?
Yeah, I'm not like he's
I'm not surprised it's coming out.
He's
ignorant though.
And just looking at him, he's just like, yeah.
I'm sorry. There's, you can't tell that. You can't all back. I'm not gonna sit here and generalize and be like, oh, you could tell when somebody's abusive. No, there are some people that, even when you hear it, it's still a little jarring or it's still a little shocking to certain people. But
it's not even that.
This thing is textbook.
No, my reasoning just might be fucking shallow, because I was like, Kiki, like,
you can't.
Mm-mm. No, I'm just saying, Kiki, probably Kiki. Like, I'm just like, and then just seeing the tweets and then just everything, the braid stopping right here. And it's sad. It's sad. I don't like that. And it's sad. It's sad. And you know what also is scary to me? I must be, was scary to me.
Stuff on the braids.
Is that her going through this, having a baby, and then having to save face and protect this man and make this man seem like he's a good person. All because of who she is and what height she holds in this whole celebrity room or whatever. Yeah, it is.
It's personified for her because she knew. Let's be real.
It's probably scary. It's sad.
It's probably
to me.
Been a multitude, probably 100 times has ran through her head, like, I want to get a restraining.
It was because that video was in 2002, so it's been happening to her.
2002?
The video on the couch, it said 2002.
2002?
Yes.
No. 2002 yes. Don't make sense.
It's go
how
look.
Was, how old would Kiki Palmer be in 2002?
She ain't I'm sorry. I'm in 2022. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, 2022.
Well, she got to be 8. That's Akilah in the
Bee. Okay, no, 2022.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. And
you probably all through COVID, they was in that house locked up with that fucking abusive ass nigga. This is the thing, though. People will be like, well, that's Kiki Palmer. She got money. She got this. She got that. Why she just ain't leave? And I had to go through a training, and this person that was doing a domestic violence training that I had to go through all prompted this one question to me, to the whole training class, and it always stuck with me. And it made me look at domestic violence. It irrevocably changed my view on domestic violence right then and there. It's like, we always come out of our mouth to ask, well, why doesn't this person walk away? Why didn't they leave? But nobody asked the question, why is this person so comfortable putting fucking hands on somebody?
Why
do they think that they can sit there and abuse somebody emotionally, physically, financially? Nobody ever questions the batterer. They question the victim.
Abuse is all abuse. It might sound kind of strange, but abuse kind of does it like how drugs alter your mind. Abuse will alter your mind like a motherfucker. And you,
because Kiki Palmer is this independent woman that's been working since she was a child. She's supposed to be able to catch the red flags and not fall in love and not fall victim to certain people. Like, abusers have a different level of manipulation embedded in them. That's why they continue to have certain victims. But nobody's going to question. Well, people are going to question him. People want to fuck him up because it's Keke Palmer.
Yeah.
And she's loved. But on a regular basis, people are so quick to sit here and ask why you didn't leave. But why did that nigga put hands on you?
And do you know what I want to know too?
Why was he comfortable with putting hands on you?
I want to know, because this will test how manipulative this and narcissistic this man is. I want to know from when Keke Palmer, like, cause when and if she told her mom this, because if she been told her mom this, I'm just saying about how
he said the mom did come out and make a statement, because after his older brother Sharonis Jackson, the nigga that played Dro on Insecure, came out and did a very cryptic message, which he did not put gender to anybody he was talking to, but then he cleared it up and said that clearly he was talking about Keke being abusive, Keke being manipulative, Keke playing this, that, and the third. His mother came out and was like, I don't say anything. The fact that Keke Palmer mama gotta come out and call out Sharonis Jackson, the fucking brother of the nigga that is dealing with her, like, what fucking time are we living in?
Mm-hmm.
And sit there and say that this nigga, I came to your brother a year ago and told him that this person is putting hands on my daughter. And everybody would probably be like, so why didn't you get your daughter away from him? You can't make people do anything.
But then that's what I was going to say, because I wanted to know when, because, and I want to know how, this is how, like, it shows, like, how abuse plays on people and how you can't tell anybody when to leave or what to do, is because all three of them were recently on a podcast together.
Yeah, I saw that.
So mm-hmm. I just want to know, like, that's abuse is very sad to me, but abuse is very it sounds I'm not trying to sound ignorant when I say this, but I don't want to say interesting, but I always want to know like
I can sit there and say that it can be intriguing to understand the inner psyche.
Like the inner psyche, yes. The inner psyche.
Fool everybody around
them.
Yes. Can isolate family. Mm-hmm, how certain people will sit there and text tell narcissistic behavior. They'll make your family fall in love with them. So that when you even do come with certain claims, people are reluctant to believe you. Oh, that nigga? He would never.
Yeah.
He did what? He's so sweet to you. He's always doing this. He's always putting you first. He never shows those signs.
I'm just like, wow, like, what the fuck had to transpire? And
it's a full-time job being an abusive prick. It's a full-time job.
Yeah, but...
Maybe Keke was sitting there lying and telling her mama everything good now.
That's what I was probably thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't know. Because prayers to Keke and Leo, this...
Not... Just literally not surprised. And that's the fucking sad part about it, is not being surprised when bullshit like this happens. Mm-hmm. So, off that nonsense, we have two people to shout out this week for I See You Player. We got Mr. Joey Badass. Mm-hmm. He launches a free mentorship program to empower men of color. I think it's being sponsored through Revolt World.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday, the 28-year-old rapper took to Instagram to show a photo of himself. Literally being a mentor, a free mentorship program for men of color in the USA and Puerto Rico. Well, he will be showing them empowerment, entrepreneurship, tactics, and much more. So shout outs to that beautiful man, Soraya. You are lucky. You are very, very lucky. Every time I see them together. And they trying to lie in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw this recently. Exonerated Central Park 5 member Yusef Salam wins council seat in NYC.
That's so nice.
And I love that. Because if y'all know anything about the Central Park 5, the 5 black men that exonerated.
That's one thing I've never completed. Girl, I did not finish that shit.
I couldn't.
Mm-mm. Traumatic.
I couldn't. I started at episode 2. Got to episode 3 and was crying so much that I couldn't finish. Mm-hmm. And it's a 5-part limited series. I couldn't. And baby, those actors are embedded in my head till today. Mm-hmm. But he said, for me, this means that we can really become our ancestors' wildest dreams. Salam told the Associated Press prior to the election, I am really the ambassador for everyone's pain. In many ways, I went through that for our people so that I can lead them now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I feel that's fucking dope, especially in a place of New York. Everybody thinks it's so progressive, but it's really not. You got the outskirts, you got upper New York, where they're really, I don't want to say traditional. They're really limited in their sense of what they want to do when it comes to it. But he's now a councilman. Our people voted him in there, and that's what's up. So he can evoke some change through the pain. Through the pain, baby. Ready for the breakdown? Hypothetically speaking, let's get into this scenario. I'm going to turn it all the way up.
I'm wrong for this. Anytime I tell this story, no one ever agrees with me. But I swear when I think about it, I'm right. So when I first moved to Atlanta, I didn't know anybody. And I joined Bumble and matched with this guy, right? We had been talking, I think, for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I got a good vibe. So anyway, I had asked him if he knew any handy people, because I had a lot of like furniture coming into my apartment and I needed help putting it together. Although I did not know him well enough, I trusted him enough to come to my apartment. Now, in hindsight, that was probably a bad idea, but it is what I did. So before he came to my apartment, I had a conversation with him about payment, because I didn't want for him to come and I didn't like him and then he felt like he got. So we talked about payment and I told him I'd give him a certain amount for him putting together like 2 pieces of furniture. Well, he put together a bed and a desk. So I don't remember exactly how much we agreed on, but I did say I was gonna sell him the money. So when he came over like early this Saturday morning, and he ended up like starting right away. He was definitely somebody that I could see myself talking to in the long haul. So it was cool. Like, he was putting we were getting to know each other. We were talking about family. We were talking about life, all this kind of stuff. So around lunchtime, I ordered us something to eat. And as we were eating, we were like really talking, right? It was good. So when he was done, he kind of like chilled for like another couple of hours just to like rest, and we were really vibing, and he was like, I would really like to see you again. And I was like, cool. So when he's ready to go, we go outside and he gives me a hug, and then he was like, okay, so I'm going to text you my Zelle information so you can send the payment. And I'm like, okay. In the moment, I was just a little shocked, but I didn't like let it on. I was just like, okay, just text it to me. So the next day I sent the Zelle payment and I was just like, oh, thank you for coming over. I really appreciate it. And then I didn't say anything else. And he was texting me and I did not respond. And he wasn't used to that, because obviously we had been like texting all day long, you know, talking throughout the day. It was good at that time. But then I just decided that the fact of him asking me for money
after
we had a good day.
Hang up. Why?
So you got a house phone.
Why?
You ever used to slam down the house phone so people don't know you're scared? Fuck out of here, bitch. Yes, and I ain't hang up before a motherfucker can hang up on you. And don't fucking hang up on me, because I'll call back and hang up on you.
I love blocking when I see the bubble. First of all,
broke some phones like that.
Baby girl, you invited the idea. You put the idea out there that you were going to Zelle him. You said it.
There's a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have honed in on this story. Why are you outsourcing TaskRabbit through Bumble? If you wanted somebody to put up furniture for you, why you match with this thing on Bumble? That is a dating app.
Why would you ever suggest to pay him in the first place?
Why are you asking niggas to put furniture up for you that you met on a dating app? That's like me going on Hinge and asking a nigga, can he put my bed frame up? The two don't correlate. Why are you conflating apps? And maybe that's not the basis of this story and this situation. But I don't know if anybody else found it weird that she went on Bumble and then she asked the nigga to put up her furniture. Go on TaskRabbit. Or ask your she said she ain't have nobody. Okay. Granted. No, did she even say she ain't have nobody?
TaskRabbit.
But wherever
I wonder where she ordered from, because a lot of furniture places give you the option to have somebody set that bitch up.
For $80, Wayfair.
Look,
you're not putting up my bed for $80. I'll find a motherfucker. I will find somebody.
Oh, I'll do it.
I can't do it.
I've done it.
I've done a dresser drawer and did it wrong from IKEA. I'm not good with stuff like that. I'm creatively inclined. I'm not good with like concrete directions. That's not how my brain works. I don't have a type A personality. I'm a free spirit. You roll your eyes all you want. I'll step on your foot.
Why would she do that?
Neither here nor there. You invited the idea of paying this person for a service. The more that I listen to this story, and I've listened to it quite a few times, it has been on everybody's motherfucking podcast that I can think of. But I needed to get out what I needed to say pertaining to this. You invite the idea of paying this person, even though you did meet them on a dating app and the intentions were necessarily to see if you wanted to continue dating them. I get all of that. All of that is real clear in your story. You bought lunch. You guys were vibing. I feel as if he did not ask her, if when they were leaving, if he did not say, well, my Zelle information was, well, she said she didn't want to pay, so I can't say
so that. Why say anything in the first place? Why even mention that? Why even say it?
I don't think you should have put up the aspects of payment. I think you should have just went out there and said, fuck it.
Like, hey, can you help me put this dress together? Like, I'll buy us lunch.
She said they were talking. Let's hang out. They were vibing. No, she didn't even have to put that out there. Because she only did that because she found the nigga attractive. She only bought him lunch. She only let him stay around in her apartment because she found him attractive. I think you should have just led with the fact of, you should have called the niggas bluff. You should have led with the fact of, yo, I got some furniture I need to put together, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he offered his services. You should have been like, I would love if you would come and put together my furniture, these two pieces that I need help with, blah, blah, blah. You should have never said anything about payment. That's because at that point, because you're saying you weren't feeling him, and that's the only reason why you, if you weren't feeling him, that's the only reason why you would pay him, I feel like that's stupid. I think you should have just put it out there and just seen if the nigga was going to do it for free. Period. Now, you wouldn't have had an awkward situation if you didn't like him. And you still wouldn't have had an awkward situation when you did end up liking him. Because I feel like now you blocked the blessing. Mm-hmm. You put payment up there. You don't know each other. You do not.
A lot of niggas aren't handy. He didn't know he was going to date you. A lot of guys aren't handy.
And then even after, like, bitch, she push your bed up.
A lot of guys aren't handy. A lot of guys aren't handy. A lot of guys aren't handy.
Like, and then he sat there and said that he wanted to continue dating you. You were feeling him. He was feeling you. Y'all had a vibe. You put money out there. You led with money. If you would have shut your fucking mouth and not lead with payment, then y'all could have sat there and either eradicated that whole thing. Y'all could have sat there and started dating. Because let's be honest, what y'all did was technically a first date. Food involved, time spent.
Talk, nice conversation.
Talking about family, this, that, and the third.
A hug, goodbye. Asked out for a second date.
Not conventionally my type of thing, but you kind of had a meet and greet. And what these niggas be doing?
She took
you shouldn't have led with money.
Nope.
Because at that point, yeah, if that's like me, I had it compared it to this. I meet a guy, we're talking, and he books me to do makeup for like his sister or his mother or something. And then I do it. And then he thinks because we're talking, he doesn't have to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
I provided a service.
Yeah.
I told you what my prices were. We had all this discussion. Y'all sat there and y'all discussed that. You got to pay me my money. Even if I want to sit there and I want to fucking date you afterwards, it's still providing a service. You should have just left it at that. Especially if putting things together and... because that is some people's job. If that wasn't his job and he was just doing you a favor, you should have just left with money. You should just let the nigga do what he do.
Right.
Let the man be the man. Isn't that what they want?
Hmm.
You jumped out, you stepped on your foot, and then you got mad because he actually asked you for the payment that y'all discussed. Find it stupid. Honestly, I would have paid the motherfucker. I would have sat there and paid him and still went on a date. I would have paid him and still went on a date.
Sure would have.
Now, I'm not going to lie. When you're hugging somebody and he would have been like, well, my Zelle payment is. Do you think you would have felt a little cringe?
Yeah, I would have a little cringe. But I
still would have paid it.
Yeah.
But you know what, me?
Yeah.
I would have peeped game. I would have been, yo, like, give me your Zelle information. As soon as he would have put the furniture up, I would have paid him in right then and there.
I would have paid him right then and there when I said it.
And then I would have still continued the day. And then you go on a clean slate.
Yeah.
So she asked the internet if she wrong.
Don't write a check that your ass can't. You the one who fucking said it. You
discuss
big
payment
money bags. Yeah.
You don't want to pay, don't pay. But don't bring it up.
Yeah, baby girl.
Once you put the payment out there, that's wrong. First of all, I had a verbal contract at that
point.
You
were wrong.
Could have took your ass a small clean
slate. She could have, because they say verbal agreements as good as written.
They were. That's your business. But I hope homeboy's happy somewhere. Putting all the furniture together that he ever wanted in life.
Mm-hmm.
Girls.
Girls.
Maybe the problem's
girl math.
It don't be mathing. Not all the time. Let's get into this second video. I had this for a while in my bookmarks on Twitter. This lady posted a man helping some women who had a flat tire, and there's a and it was on TikTok. Got to Twitter. A whole bunch of women are in the comments sitting here and telling her that this man is probably cheating and he's being too friendly to the women that he helps.
They're idiots.
So this is what this one lady retweeted and said. I only want to date men like this. Don't only treat the women you know and care about nicely. Be genuinely kind to all women.
Yes.
All humans, have respect and be a gentleman.
Yes.
Now, you already sat there and said they're idiots, so I automatically know what you're going to go with. And I've spoken on here before. I don't want no mean-ass niggas.
I don't.
I don't want those niggas that's... Because there's a... I've dealt with the aspects of a man sitting here and saying that I like you. I hate women. Like, I've had somebody sit there and say, I hate women, but I like you, though. And it's a turn-off. No, seriously. Like, I don't fuck... Like, I've had enough experiences with ain't shit women, or I've been this, then the third. And it just comes off as anger, resentment, and a whole bunch of fucking toxicity rolled up in one. But I've literally had somebody sit there and say, I hate bitches. I don't like women, but I fuck with you.
Nah.
And it's a turn off. That fake, I'm not friendly, bitches can't be in my face, all that kind of stuff, that might turn a more insecure,
yeah,
a more territorial person on. I'm never gonna adhere to that. I don't like it.
I will say even though the guys I've dated, we've never clearly worked out, but I will say I've dated guys who were always respectful to women. I've dated guys where they have, you know, helped a old lady push her cart to her car, put her groceries in her car, hold the door, help somebody bring their laundry out of the laundry room to their car. I've always, you know, dated a guy that if we were out and there was a woman, a elderly even person or elderly woman,
pregnant woman,
that they've assisted. So I would say, like, I love that. I don't, if you see a woman, like, if we're together, we're leaving out of a date, we're leaving out of anywhere, and we see a woman with a flat tire and you know how to change it, go change it, babe.
Go change that tire,
babe.
I promise you, you're going to get the craziest pussy neck woman in
that, yeah.
It's the
aspect. No, not when you get home on the way home.
I stand corrected.
On the way home.
I stand corrected.
Oh,
I like when she correct me, baby. Let me know what it is.
On the way home.
It's the acts of service. It's the aspects of being... It's that little reassurance that chivalry within your partner is not dead. That I don't know for... I can't speak for all women, but I'm only going to speak for Sasha and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to... I give y'all everything. Mm. That's crazy. I gave the middle initial. I digress.
Monica.
But when... I like that name, though.
I bet. Loving basketball.
No, bitch. Even though that's the first thing that came to my head, but not. I'm going to fight you. We're going to tussle. By the end of this year, we're going to tussle. It's fine. But... I want to see that my partner has some sense of awareness for other people. I don't want you to be mean.
No.
I don't want you to be disrespectful. Because I've said this on here before. I don't even know what episode it was. But if a nigga is rude, if a nigga is disrespectful, if a nigga is mean to other women, but claims to quote unquote only treat you with this certain amount of care and sweetness and love, I promise you, the moment that you do something he doesn't like, the moment that you disagree with him, the moment that you and him are beefing, that same energy will transfer onto you.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as a Jekyll and Hyde nigga where you are the only thing where he's completely and utterly great to you and it doesn't transfer. Emotional intelligence does not work like that.
Mm-mm.
So for all the women that are sitting here saying that man is probably going to cheat, or he's cheating, or he's being too friendly. What if it was your sister? I always think of those examples. What if it was your sister? What if it was your mom's out there? Stranded on the middle of the highway. It's dark as shit as soon as 4:30 hit. And your pop's at work, or your brother ain't around, or you don't even have any male figures in your life to sit there and help you in that aspect. But your mans could go and help somebody that day. Give women in this world a little reassurance that there's still good men out there.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want your man to be that sole example of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I would. Mm-hmm. Don't be in bitches' faces? What are we talking about? Attire? And in certain places where as soon as they see a woman on the side of the road, they're robbing you for every fucking thing? Y'all gotta do better. I get the aspects of mistrust, but if that much people were in those TikTok comments, it's either one, they were trying to be funny, or two, they this generation is fucked up.
It's fucked up.
We'll go with the latter.
Alright.
But we're gonna move on. I'm glad we're on the same page with that. Let's talk uncomfortable conversations. One, I want to know, for where you are in life right now, do you see yourself having more uncomfortable conversations with the age that you are in?
With who?
Anybody. When I say uncomfortable conversations, I mean, literally have it on here. It could be family. It could be relationships. It could be friends. It could just be, how do you react, or do you see yourself having more uncomfortable conversations as you get older?
Yes.
Now, with that being said, are you the type of person that avoids them, or do you warrant them?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
It depends on the person. It depends on, like, an interaction that we have before that makes me hesitant of even wanting to have an uncomfortable conversation because of how it might handle or whatever. But as I'm getting older, it's more like, now I won't even say like uncomfortable. I would just say different. Mm. I would just say different. Like me being the age that I am and I'm 34 and me and my mom interacting and things like that. It's just certain things. It's not uncomfortable. It's just different because I am at the age where, you know, I still, of course, you know, I am still respectful, you know, when it comes to talking to my mom, but we're at the stage as though I could actually, you know, it's just different. I could talk to her like as a homegirl. Mm-hmm. As certain things, you know, that's going on with like my brothers and stuff like that. I'm at the stage where it's different, where it's like, I gotta come out of me being your daughter and have to talk to you like a friend, like a homegirl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would just say it all depends on the person.
Yeah.
If, you know, what it is. Because if we had an interaction where I've tried to have one before and I saw your reaction, I'm not going to want to. It just all depends.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to tailor different conversations for different people. Mm-hmm. But I do think that with the age that I'm in now, I'm having more uncomfortable conversations. And whereas I was a person that used to literally say, oh, I love, I don't like confrontation, I like avoiding confrontation. I feel like it's not me inviting confrontation into my space, but I'm less worried about how somebody's going to take something if I know that I'm not coming from a malicious or a misrepresented state. Like, when it comes to family, like you said, this actually stemmed from something like that. Mm-hmm. Having uncomfortable conversation with my mother, talking about estate planning, talking about life insurance, talking about what's going to happen when you are no longer here.
Yeah.
Those conversations have been weighing on us because specifically something irrevocably rocked our family dynamic where we had to really hone in on that. But just having those conversations in general, and I don't know if we necessarily talk about it and we kind of like hide it and we just keep it within family, the realms of family when it comes down to it. But if I give an example, that last season of Insecure, when Molly was sitting there and just being so frustrated with her parents because they were just dragging out the estate. And her mother ended up dying from the stroke. That was triggering. Because specifically during that time watching that, it's just like, yo, our parents are at that age where shit can happen. It can get real deep real quick.
Yeah, my mom does it. She does it all the time, but she does it real random where it has my attention where I'm like, oh.
Okay.
So like, you know, it's, you know, I've never personally called her and be like, so girl, like, do you want to be cremated or do you want to be buried? No, she comes out and says it. She's like, she'll say it. She'll just come out and say it. Like,
and it is sporadic things or it is circumstances where maybe the people around our parents, they're at the age where they're going to be losing friends. We're losing more family.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll sit there and they'll come out and they'll say certain things. But I've been having a lot of uncomfortable conversations specifically with my parents. Nobody really talks about how unprepared that Gen Z and millennials are when it comes to reversing roles and parenting the boomers. Because our parents are the baby boomers. And now in hindsight, we have to parent them. Mm-hmm. And nobody talks about that switch and how it can fucking transition and rock you. And I've literally this full year, and I keep saying it, this year has been one of the most uncomfortable years of my life. But I am excited about it because I know through that quest of just uncertainty, something is going to come out of it. Because I'm pushing myself in it. I'm not running from it.
Yeah, you're always going to go through the uncomfortable phase. It's not even one time. You're always going to go through the uncomfortable phase. But you have to be uncomfortable to, you know, to be able to, you know, to navigate those things. Exactly. It's uncomfortable. But my mom always says this. And I'd be like, but it's very true. With some things, she always says it's in the meantime. In the meantime, when you hear in the meantime, you might think in the meantime might be a month. No. Meantime could be 6 months. It could be a year, but it's in the meantime. And in the meantime, you're going to work through whatever it is that you have to work through. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? You're going to navigate that. But in the meantime, this is what the fuck you're going to do. And this is how we're going to navigate you getting through it in the meantime. Because in the meantime,
effective communication. This might happen.
Yes. It's
effective communication. And even though we're dealing with old school parents, we're dealing with people that might not have the faculties of all the knowledge that we have. We have knowledge readily available at our fingertips now. Our parents don't necessarily know how to navigate that. So it's hard to navigate certain vulnerable conversations. Some of them might be very stuck in their ways. To some people's parents are downright fucking disrespectful and ignorant, and they still got to take care of them at the end of the day. And all those things make for uncomfortable conversations.
That's like my mom, whatever. She's about to turn 50. She's about to turn 55. You know, she's that age, but it took a lot of talk. It's nasty.
No, it just got a different taste. I don't remember it tasting like
it. It took a lot of different conversations of, you know, me talking to her. Me, you know, maybe you should try it like this. Oh, I would say, you know, I'm not a mom, but I feel as if I was in your shoes, I would try it like this, try it like that. And, you know, it's coming to the point where it's like, you know, she is, you know, realizing.
Coming to you for advice.
I'm coming to me for advice. Or, you know, she's like taking a step back and, you know, she's trying it a different way because, you know, Gen Z, they are. Very emotional.
Yeah.
Very, panic room.
That's the only way I can
explain. Very panic room. Like, Gen Z is very panic room.
I don't know how to explain it. I have no words for it.
So it's just like, it's, my mom is getting, I could tell that she's adapting into, you know, what we are now, but still keeping some of her same values and whatever, what she has.
Because your morals are your morals.
She's learning to like function with in between, and that's what the fuck we really gotta do.
Exactly. So like, I'm not going to, I can definitely have uncomfortable conversations with my parents. I've built up that level of confidence with speaking to them when it comes to certain things. Because at first I did not think that they, I had a thing where I didn't think they valued my opinion. I didn't think that they valued the advice that I came to. But now I have my mother for years. She's been coming to me when it comes to certain things. And now my father is starting to do the same thing. So I do feel like those conversations are not necessarily, they're not as uncomfortable as they first were, because I do feel like they value my opinion. Now, I have not mastered having conversations with my friends. I never want to come off as if hurting anyone's feelings. I've gotten better with being more vulnerable with my friends. I feel like I've gotten better with letting them know. I used to be a more, like, everybody be like, oh, Sasha sneaky. You don't know who she's talking to. You don't know what she's doing.
Who cares?
Da, da, da. And I know. And I try not to. It does get to me. It used to get to me at certain times. But in hindsight, I realize that you.
Honestly, if you have best that nobody knows who they fuck up, we ain't never going to see.
That's not true. Okay. I don't agree with that. Well, I don't agree with that.
You don't want to be sneaky? You don't
want
to... No,
I think that there are certain things that you keep to yourself, but I don't want to fuck up behind closed doors. I feel as if I want to trust the circle that I've built around me as my feet.
No, he's doing something too over there.
Oh, freaky.
Yeah.
I want to trust the people that I have around me to not judge me, to not make me feel a certain type of way, to not hate on me when I have good news. I've had friendships where I literally would be scared out of my mind with anxiety because there are certain people that I could not come to with my issues, and I did not know how to come out of that. Mm. So there's somebody you want their opinion, or you want to get some type of advice for something that you're going through, but then you have friends that you don't have that level of vulnerability with. Mm-hmm. I don't want that going forward. Mm-hmm. So like, even if I fuck up with a nigga, I want my friends to be right then and there, but I just don't want any judgment passed upon mm-hmm. it. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't necessarily come to me, or I bite my tongue about what I'm doing with somebody because I'm scared or I don't trust the opinions of the people that I've built mm-hmm. around me. You gotta trust the motherfuckers that are around you, so then what are they here for?
Yeah.
Just to stand around?
Sure.
I don't want frivolous or superficial relationships. So I am working on that.
And then you know what? Some people gotta get over. Not, I'm not gonna say get over. But some people also have to like get comfortable with realizing like, okay, even though like I could have a heavy situation, but then I also might know that you have a heavy situation too, but we also have to be comfortable with knowing our relationship, knowing our friendship, that what I got going on, if I talk to you about it, it's not going to weigh you down even more. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people feel like, I know they got a lot going on, so why even, you know what I'm saying, come to them about what I got going on.
Some people and don't stuff like that. I think as you get older, you just really, this comes into the topic of uncomfortableness. Check in.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, can I dump on you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I've had a hell of a week. Can we table this and talk about it later? Like, we should be able to do that. Some people would get offended if they can't mm-hmm. come in and completely dump all of their trauma or their negativity mm-hmm. on their friend. There's the people that will dump and dump and dump, and they will never even ask you how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at this age, we filter out the people that are like that and don't serve us in the relationships yeah. and the friendships that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need to utilize the people that we have in our inner circle. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I used to keep a lot of shit bottled up and closed up, and I still am like that. But I want to be able to have...
You sound like a narrator.
I know.
And I still am.
It happens from time to time. I feel like I came from a theater background. I just never lived up to my full potential.
And I still am like that.
I'm gonna do some voiceover work.
It takes time.
You know? It's like, you gotta cultivate these situations where I'm able to come and be like, yo, bruh, I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Not bruh, but bitch. I need to talk
bruh.
To you.
Bruh.
Bro, it's crazy. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's harsh.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I promise you, I won't shy away from uncomfortable conversations when I get into a relationship. We here, baby. What's up? This way going forward, from what I've been through in my mm-hmm. past, not doing that ever again.
Yeah.
Something's on my spirit. We're going to talk about it. Now, if you need time and we need to table it for another time where you mm-hmm. feel comfortable talking about it, I will give somebody that I care about grace. Mm-hmm. But I will no longer bite my tongue in a relationship to save face, to not look like the nagging bitch when it comes to a nigga. You're going to hear that I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you can sit there and you can come to me with yours. I hope so. These niggas be going through shit in their head and don't want to bring it to their bitch. That shit crazy to me.
Oh, my God.
They don't. These niggas be fighting for their life in their head. Niggas say it all the time. I don't know if you listen to these motherfuckers.
I don't.
Maybe not. That's why I asked you like that. It's okay. It's okay.
That's more like nail polish remover.
It don't taste that good.
It's more like nail polish remover. It's like you at the nail salon. What is that?
I know my sinus fucked up. I don't know.
Sasha, that really smell like at you at the nail salon. Let me see.
When you got a dependency.
Tasha, that smell like, oh.
Little acetone.
Does that really smell? Yes. Are you sure that's wine?
Yeah, but it's just been sitting.
You get away from the door.
Freaky. I don't know. But we got this last topic. I feel like it'll be real short.
Nope.
It's a little sweet. It's a little sweet. It's going to be short. But let's talk about it. So this question, and I did want to bring this up before because I have two examples of something. Do you think you could continue dating someone who said they had a sexual experience with the same sex once in their past?
Rocky, are you for real?
He will come and get freaky by the door when we have this question.
What are you doing?
Hey, Pooda. Pick him up. He's so cute. Ugh.
So
once in the past.
So yeah. I was talking to my friend. Me and him was talking on the phone, and yes. I was reading the questions and stuff, and I was like, you know, surprisingly, I was like, I said, yeah, I said I would. So this is what I would say. So for me, that I'm not into. It's just, you know, I'm not into. Well, it's not, doesn't even matter what I'm going to say now. So I'm not even going to say that.
What you mean?
No, I'm gonna, let me just say that I was going, what I said at first originally. Mm-hmm. So if I'm dating a guy, me and him having a good, you know, connection or whatever, you know, so be it. Not even that. Maybe if me and him first started dating, and if he would have said, like, you know, 4 years ago, I got my dick sucked by a guy.
Just to see if I liked it.
And I was like, okay, well, did you like it? And he could say, yeah, but I don't want to be with men. I'm going to say, oh, what am I? Okay. Now, if it was 3 weeks ago, no. No.
3 weeks ago, but what if he said it was once? No. He didn't know you 3 weeks ago. He did not know you 3 weeks ago.
Okay, well, as long as he said,
4 years ago, he got his dick sucked by a guy. He said he didn't like it. It's not his thing. Never did it again. 3 weeks ago.
I would just say if it's fairly recent, I would really have to know, like, you know,
it's the same situation as the four years ago.
I just want to know, like, you know, what is it that you're, you know.
He was curious. I mean, I look at this situation as somebody that is aware enough to know that they had a bi curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anything wrong with a bi curiosity when it comes to men. People are going to look at me real fucking side-eyed, ask me if I care. When I say that, because as women, they promote bi curiosity and bisexuality. Mm-hmm. So if a nigga thought about getting his dick sucked by a guy, got it done, realized this shit's not for him, he don't like, he's not attracted to men, he sat there and had the...
Well, at least he said something. A lot of guys don't say nothing.
Like homeboy with Molly. She fumbled that motherfucking bag. What was his name? Jared. Even though it did end up good for her. Jared. Remember the guy from... Mm-hmm. He worked at the Enterprise or something like that?
Okay, yeah.
And he said in college he had got his dick sucked by a guy, but it wasn't for him. He did it once. She couldn't get over it because she kept saying he's bisexual. He likes niggas. She can't live up to it. This and third, and kept playing around with him. But he said, I don't. It happened years ago.
Please!
What is he doing?
Why are you licking that liquor bottle and you're licking the fucking outlet thing? Stop or you get electrocuted. Please stop. Come here. Stop.
I personally can continue dating someone who had said they had a special experience with the same sex.
It doesn't bother me.
Now.
But what can I do though? Am I going to, if me and this person are having a good connection, am I going to throw something away? You know what I'm saying? For a guy that, you know, had his dick sucked.
But we kept it real cute. We're keeping it real cute. There's more things you can do with somebody else in the same sex.
I said anything. When I was talking to my friend, to the guy, I said anything. I said,
it's the circumstance of once and they don't want to do it again.
What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't eradicate your past for you. I don't want to eradicate your past for you because it makes you who you are now. I'm still attracted to you.
Because it could be you, this guy. You could have been the nicest thing, and then it could be the next nigga that fucked 30 fucking bitches. Like, what? I prefer a nigga that got fucked in the ass and then versus somebody that's just like fucking all these dirty bitches. I'm just saying.
Are the bitches dirty?
They could be. They could be.
Interesting.
But they're not honest. They're never honest about it. Interesting. He's honest about it.
Me personally.
Do you, babe? What am I going to do?
I know that most people that listen to this show, you already know how I come off. I'm not going to be the type to sit here and judge you for your past experiences. If you fucked a nigga once, or if you got your dick sucked by a nigga once, I do not believe that you are gay. I hope that you are not suppressing some down low spirit. And I hope that you are not using me as a beard in any way, shape, or form. Especially because I am a little bit more...
Why are you giving a PSA?
Because I just...
No, I get it.
I get the trauma that comes from women... That really thought that niggas fucked with them.
Yeah.
And they ended up being down low. But I have an immense empathy for those men who know if they come out, they are going to be castrated, shunned. The community is completely going to turn against them because homophobia still reigns supreme.
Duh.
And a lot of, and let's be, I say it all the fucking time, there are more homophobic black women on this motherfucking planet that I see than there are a lot of, there's a, I don't even, and I hate doing the battle of the sexes, but there's a wildly aggressive amount of homophobic black women that people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that there's a lot of homophobic black men because they have been taught to be homophobic. But the amount of homophobic black women is uncanny. And nobody says anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I see motherfuckers jump on black men all the time for being homophobic. Nobody checks a bitch about being homophobic to another man.
Never.
Nobody checks them. Mm-hmm. Or being homophobic when it comes to women. Mm-hmm. Nobody checks black women.
Mm-mm.
Just like it's so cute to sit there and say, oh, women can have a bi-curious phase or be bi-curious at least once, but men can't do the
same. And
that's
what I said when I was talking to my friend. That's what I was saying. I was like, and that would be like, and I also thought that would be like, because there are like, it's surprisingly, a lot of people think it's weird. There are a lot of men out here that don't care for their women being with other women. That is a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it could be somebody, you know what I'm saying? Not church niggas either, like regular niggas. I'm just saying regular people. It's people out there, you know, that out there too.
Can I get a little toxic with it? I think any nigga that really has a problem with their bitch being with another bitch can't eat pussy well.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think they eat pussy good.
Oh.
And I think their stroke might lack a little bit. Any nigga that's really on the up and up. And let me not do that. That's that was toxic. Nice, that was toxic.
Sasha, coming from you, that was not nice.
Because why are you worried about another bitch taking you away?
No, not taking you away. Like, why just saying. Some people,
they can't eat pussy.
I don't know.
Step your cookies up, bro. What you mean?
Sasha.
As a man.
It's that fucking nail polish.
It's acetone.
You're literally drinking acetone. But I wouldn't have a problem. Like, I wouldn't have a, if that's not your thing, it's not your thing.
I'm not even gonna. Okay, so then I saw this. I seen two clips where I had, where it's like, what was it? Jay Alfonso, and then homeboy, I hate that I don't have his name, but plays Dre on Power, the gay one.
Yes, the light-skinned boy.
They are both. And they're straight. Homeboy that played Issa's brother, the gay brother.
They're straight.
They're all three of them are straight.
Yeah.
And married to women.
Yeah.
Now, people are saying, how would you feel if your partner played a gay role on a TV show? Would you have a problem with it? Brad Pitt, was it Brad Pitt and Jake Gyllenhaal in Brokeback Mountain?
That's not Brad Pitt.
That's not Brad Pitt, right?
Brad Pitt is not in Brokeback Mountain.
It's not Brad Pitt.
I don't think Brad Pitt
is. Jake Gyllenhaal is in Brokeback Mountain.
Yes, he is.
Girl, Heath Ledger. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger and motherfucking Jake Gyllenhaal was blowing each other back out in that mountain on Brokeback Mountain. And they are straight. They were straight motherfuckers. Why the fuck am I going to have a problem with my nigga playing gay? I don't give a fuck. In real life, I don't care if you got your dick sucked or your back blown out. Why the fuck am I going to care if you bring home money? Lil Murda, do you know how much of a sex symbol he is, even with being gay? Or maybe that's just, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. What? Bitches love Lil Murda.
Duh.
Love
him. Niggas.
Love him. Let's be real.
We love Lil Murda.
And then you're getting paid to play gay?
Who cares? Y'all got to get over it.
Maybe. Do you want me to wax your eyes? Like your eyebrows? Do you want me to help with your skincare routine? Do we have to metrosexual it
up? That's not gay.
Do we have to metrosexual it up so you have the appearance? You looking a little too straight. I can help you. For the coint? I got a problem with it.
Niggas that look a little bit too straight ain't straight, okay?
And I'm the one suppressing themselves. I just want everybody to be happy.
They can.
And be free.
They can.
Because motherfuckers is homophobic. Who cares?
They do.
Like, y'all really care?
They do. People yearn love. People yearn family. People love support. They feel like they don't have that. They have nothing.
So sad that your family would sit there and have you come to the decision of not being who you are because for fear that they will literally cut you off from the love, the support, and the environment that you think you need. So like I said, I really do empathize with niggas that are down low. I don't respect it. I don't respect it. But I empathize for it because what are they going to do? Every single time some bitch break up with a nigga from Baltimore, they out their baby father for being gay.
It's a lot.
Why does that happen in Baltimore specifically? I see it on Twitter every week. I found my baby father was sucking dick. Bitch, you knew that nigga.
Ain't nothing wrong with bisexual men.
Could you be with a full-on bisexual man?
That's not my thing. No. Not my thing. I'm not sure why he...
Why? What you mean you're not sure why I asked? Because we're on the subject of bi-curiosity. Not my thing. But what if you could have two boyfriends? I'm not gonna... It's not your thing. You say it's not your
thing. It's a lie.
You say it's not your thing.
How is two boyfriends... What does that got to do with anything?
Because he's bi-curious. The other nigga that he fucking with is bi. And then they both want you.
No.
You said it's not your thing.
Yeah. The hell? You need to stop drinking acetone. That's what the... You need to stop... You really,
you're telling these people I'm stop.
You're really drinking fucking acetone. You're drinking acetone and it's not... I'm telling Shani, it's not safe. She needs to check up on you. It's not safe. Let's do... Bookmark shenanigans, question two.
To the window, to the wall. So sweet ass walk. Bro, really save some wine. I'm just tingly inside. I need to eat some food.
Acetone. What
the fuck am I going to eat?
Taco Bell.
No. I got to bring Bro something. She doesn't eat that.
Oh, the catfish.
I feel like eating it so heavy.
Girl.
It's heavy.
You drinking acetone.
It's not going to help.
It's going to break it down.
My stomach is not going to take
it. It's going to break it away when you drink it.
Yeah, that's so miso salmon. I want to
say. From where?
Sweet Green. They got miso salmon for their fall.
You going to go all the way to Montclair?
I'm not because there's no parking. I'm going to have to deliver it, but.
Delivery? That's a lot.
It wasn't a lot. They forgot my veggie fajitas.
See,
though.
No, I don't play. Mm-mm.
Oh, I reported it, took a picture and everything. You know how much these motherfuckers gave me back on the refund?
$4.
$6.45. Because they missed my veggies. You said question number two?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the is that the first question? Is that the first question? Oh my God, hold on 1 second. No. Oh my God, where is
do,
it?
Do, 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 do.
You could have been got that.
Have you listened to All Set new album?
Love it.
Okay.
I was going to come in here and say Don Tiller was my the Don Tiller song. And Freak.
That's
freak,
my shit. What girl are you with my sister?
Freak. Love that shit. Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'll wait till after miscellaneous because I forgot to talk about this.
No.
Bring it up. No. Go ahead.
No. Bring it up. No.
We'll do other miscellaneous. No. I should have tied it into celebrity bullshit.
No. Bring it up now.
It's not bad. It's actually good.
Okay, so bring it up.
Nelly and Ashanti.
I love it. Hold that.
No, I had a question.
I cannot wait till next week. I had a question, but I took
people
it
keep telling me I'm obsessed and I don't care.
Who told you that?
Everybody told me to get over it. Everybody here to get over it. I love it.
Because you want to know why everybody's telling you to get over
it? I love it?
Because them spin the block situations don't really.
That's their business.
They're very rare.
That's your fault. Damn. Business.
Damn.
And this spin the block is not it's not for everybody.
Damn.
It is not for little Meech and Summer Walker. It's not. It is for Janet Jackson and Jermaine Dupri.
They're back together, right?
They were all hanging out, and I cried. I cried that night. Wow. I cried.
Nelly, say drugs were involved.
Yes. Nelly and Ashanti and Janet Jackson and Jermaine Dupri smoking hookah. Hookah? Where are we? Where are we? 2020, you cannot trick me.
I said hold it.
2023 has been fucking up my bingo card.
I said hold it. She don't listen. She don't fucking listen.
I can't wait till next week. I shall not.
Fucking long ass.
Did you know The Way That I Love You was written for about Nelly?
So Are you going to sit there and give Irv Gotti point props for bringing Ashanti and Ellie back together?
How did he do that?
Because he sat there and he called out their relationship and said that he was very jealous when Ashanti had got with Nelly.
I'm going to trump that. Because
You're obsessed.
Fat Joe and Ja Rule actually set that up on Versus, actually.
Didn't I say
who? Fat Joe set that up for the kill. They've actually been messing around for... Since a little after the Verses.
I did see them together at the Verses when they were both.
But remember, she did go on Angie.
There were rumors since then. There was rumors since then.
She was like, no. She was like, no. But they were.
Just get it out. Just let it out. Just let it out right now.
He's going to propose around Christmas. I'm not even being funny.
I don't think he's going to propose this year.
All right. Well, she.
I do hope they get married.
They are.
I hope they get married. But I'm going to be honest with you. I believe in spinning the block with certain situations. I do. Don't ask me why. For as progressive as I think I may be, I do believe in certain situations.
You're playing with my psyche.
I do believe in certain situations you got to spin the block. And I do like comeback stories like this. But it's not reality. It's not realistic. And
it can be, but we've never had that. It can be.
It's not. Is there anybody in your past right now that you could spin the block with, like on some Nelly and Ashanti shit? I'm talking about.
I can't say that. Dated 20 years prior. Bitch, I'm 34.
How? Is there anybody that from way back when?
I don't like them. And I couldn't anyway because one of them's married. I couldn't. But I have niggas from my past want to spin the block all the time, but I say
yeah,
no.
Yeah, but fuck. But you don't want to. That's what I'm saying. You know it's not worth it.
I don't have anybody I want to spin the block with.
This motherfucker.
I have somebody I want to start the car up with and drive around the block. Something new.
Can we just stay on Taz? Why are you doing this situation is rare, and that is why it is so profound in the way that people
are acting. Janet Jackson and Jermaine Dupri singing, ooh.
I don't like that
ooh,
one.
Ooh, ooh. Like,
what's a non-consensual body part? It goes,
you be fun.
What's a non-sexual body part that turns y'all on?
I seen this on Twitter, and I responded, head massage.
A body part.
Oh, what did it say?
Not an act. I did have that saved, but I couldn't.
What did it say?
A non-sexual body part that turns you on. So you can't say dick.
Fixing anything, getting anything fixed with my car.
That's an act. A body part.
Oh, what do you mean? Like what?
So like if you see a nigga, you know how I always say I like big shoulders. I like big arms.
I like arms.
I like a thick neck.
I like the face. Hello. Okay, I would say arms.
You like niggas.
Shoes.
That's not a body part.
Oh, arms. Arms then. Arms. Arms and face.
Yeah, you like niggas that look like Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh my god, no. That's old.
Back in the day.
I don't know what he looks like back in the day. I'll show you. Do number one.
No. That was number one. I have nothing
to do. I said number two.
Yeah, that was number two. I don't know what number one was.
You do.
I just went to bookmarks. You disrupted my psyche with this whole Ashanti and Nelly thing. I don't want to sound like a hater. I love seeing it. I love seeing them. He cried when she got him the vintage car. It was beautiful. But I'm just saying, I don't want people to think that they need to go spin the block.
That's what
on
I'm
that
saying.
Music.
That's what I
it's not realistic.
That's what I said. That it's not. That's what I said. I said it's not it for everybody. Work. It doesn't work. It's not for everybody, but it works for them because they have fucking money. It works for them.
I don't think it's money.
You're right because some of Walker and Lil B should have not.
I think it's time, energy, and growth put in. And now that's why I say age is a construct. It doesn't fucking matter. When you decide to be right for somebody.
They say, I love you.
They love each other.
Baby.
I mean, okay. I call everybody baby, though.
Her babe. She's calling her babe.
Wrap it up.
Her babe.
Wrap it up.
You know what I think is really funny was very Libra of her. How she threw him the birthday party, but she put pictures of her in the party too. It's very Libra. It's like, why is it pictures?
The way that I'm why would the DJ play my favorite song from Ashanti? That was literally the song
hated
she
it
did.
About
why
him. He was
you,
like,
why would you play that? She told that DJ to do that.
But why is it his birthday party?
Libra is rising, so I kind of understand.
It's very Libra. Like, we're going to make it about him also,
I won't put pictures of myself in the birthday party, but I'd be damned if Taylor did. It's not to my taste.
Her clutch was their pick. Her purse.
Her face going to be on this.
You saw her purse for the MTV Awards? Yes.
I'm going to be on there.
That's very Libra of her. So you are Libra rising.
They said that November, going into December, I'm going to be very unapologetic and brutally honest.
Well,
that's my rising shining through. They also did say that I'm going to be a millionaire by next year. We'll see. Oh. I agree.
Well, the lottery. You're going to hit a lick. How are you going to do that? It's got to be the lottery.
I'm going to enter Nicole Smith.
Or it could be a man.
I'm going to enter Nicole Smith it. If you know, you know. This is episode 148 of the I Said What I Said podcast. You can follow me on TikTok at Coco Face Paint. You can follow me on IG at Coco Da Don Dada. My page is a little active right now. Slightly. You can follow the podcast on TikTok at I Said What I Said Pod 1.
You can follow me on Instagram at Ashanti.
That's not legal. What?
Make sure you follow at Nelly just to get all the updates.
Are you mad when people say use obsessed? This is crazy. You give them fucking free promo.
What you get?
It's cute. I love it. It's not realistic for the layman's.
Can I just live in that land?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We live in a harsh reality every day. Can I just live in a land,
I'm gonna give it to you, baby. I'm gonna let you have it.
I feel like we all should be able to live in a fantasy land, a land that does not exist. Hope they don't let me down. Follow me at Jazzy, of course. Follow me on TikTok at Jazzy, of course. Follow me on Instagram. Twitter at Jazzy _ of course.
And you can follow the podcast Twitter at IWISPod. I said what I said podcast.
Make sure you like and subscribe. Ashanti.
You are crazy.